buy2wayradios.com. Check, check. Buy2wayradios.com.
Recorded almost live from Rock Hill, South Carolina. It's the Two-Way Radio Show.
And welcome to the Two-Way Radio Show. I'm Rick Savoia.
And I'm Danny Feimster.
And this is the podcast about two-way radios for business and consumer communications. Today we'll talk about a new GMRS portable handheld radio from Ocean that offers some popular features of their other models with a smaller size and lower price. We'll also take some of your comments and questions from our blog and our forum at twowayradioforum.com. Our show is sponsored by buy2wayradios.com, the source of two-way radios and radio accessories for businesses and consumers since 2002. Buy2wayradios.com, your radio specialist. Last autumn, Ocean introduced a GMRS radio called the KGQ10G. We first introduced it in episode 183 of the Two-Way Radio Show, and it quickly became quite popular. Now, there is a new model that has a few of the premium features found on the Q10G and on some other Ocean GMRS radios, plus it is more portable and more affordable. We're talking about the new KGS65G.
I'm so happy we're finally releasing this KGS65G. I think everyone's going to be super happy with it. It's the idea for the S65G is to introduce a value radio. We had the KG805G, which is a very high performance radio, but it's kind of low on features. If you're looking for raw performance at an affordable price, the 805G is a great option. But what we kept hearing from our customers is we want a radio at the 805G price, but with some of these extra features like the color display and weather mode, for example, things like that, that you would see on higher end radios like the 935G and up. And that is the gap that the KGS65G is supposed to be there to fill.
So really we're looking at a radio that has, the core popular features a lot of people liked, but, that also allows it to be a little bit lighter in a couple of ways and a little bit less expensive. And I think that's actually a pretty good value-based approach.
That's exactly where this radio is supposed to fit. It's part of the KGS series, and the S series already includes the S88G and a wide range of other radios. In the KGS series, there are a couple of business radios, the S84 and S86B. There's a CB radio, a handheld CB radio, the S72C. There's an aviation radio in the KGS74A. And now we're bringing out the KGS65G, which is part of the S series. That means it's small. It uses the same battery as those other radios in the S series. So if you have an S88G, then you're going to have the same battery accessories will work on the S65G. And also it has USB-C support built into the radio, which is another feature that the S series brings along. But I think the biggest thing is that it has the NOAA weather radio. We get asked a lot about a low cost radio that has NOAA weather, because our lower price radios like the 805, the 905, the S88, because those radios have a super heterodyne receiver and they don't use the system on a chip type technology, it's difficult to do build dual band technology into that. So those radios are only capable of UHF, which is where GMRS is, but being able to do NOAA as well, that that's big. And it is a big addition, and it's not trivial to add that. So with the S65G, it's there. It also has weather alerts built into the radio as well. So you can get, if there's a alert that's going around, you'll get a notification on the radio, or you can configure it to give you a notification in different ways if there's a weather emergency.
Well, we have a few features in this radio now that I really am glad were placed in here. The couple of features in particular that are favorites of mine. But I'll tell you what, we'll save that as we come across them. Let's talk a little bit about some of the key features of this new KGS65G and really what it offers.
Let's do it.
Okay. First of all, this is a radio that has up to 5 watts of power. And that's pretty much a standard now for a lot of the GMRS handhelds, which is really interesting because up until a few years ago, you were really hard-pressed to find a full 5-watt handheld GMRS radio. And now they're everywhere. So this is kind of a standard, and there's nothing really spectacular on this, but it does offer that. And for something that is this small and compact, I think that's a plus for it right there.
I think a bigger feature than the 5 watts of power is that it has 3 power modes. So you can select between 5 watts, 2 watts, and 0.5 watt.
Yeah, absolutely.
A lot of times you'll see lower end radios will only have high and low. Mm-hmm. And your choice is 5 watts or 0.5 watt because half a watt has to be in there because of the channels 8 through 14 that are limited to that.
That's true. 400 memory channels. So this has a lot of memory channels for programming additional configurations that you want, custom configurations of the existing GMRS channels and the repeater channels with your custom CTCSS tones and DCS codes and things like that, whatever you want to put in there. You've got 400 of them total. So I think that's plenty. To me, that's plenty. I don't know about you, Danny, but I have a few of these GMRS radios on hand, and I don't think I program more than 20 of those additional channels, maybe not even that, on top of what is already pre-programmed. I just don't really have the need to do it, but there are folks out there that need a couple hundred channels, 400 channels, in the case of some of the models, 999 channels. I don't know what everybody does with them,
I don't think that's a very widely used feature, the extra channel. I think most people are using the 30 channels that are built in. And I think that occasionally you have people who will add extra channels on top of the 30 for their specific local repeaters. So they can keep channels 22 through 30 set aside in case you're traveling and you need to change the tones for a repeater that you're kind of just temporarily going to use. Yeah. So that may be the case, but 400 channels is plenty. And if you need more, or if you need more than 50, if you're going to use more than say 50 channels or so, then you'd probably be happier looking at a radio like the Q10G or the 935G, because those support a lot of channels, but also they support a lot of frequencies. So you can put in, VHF frequencies, or in the case of the Q10G, you can even put in CB radio frequencies or, very frequencies that are in a very wide range. And we probably don't want to get into that, but the KGS65G is kind of made to be a GMRS radio. It's supposed to make people happy that are really into GMRS, but if you're looking to listen to ham as well and things like that, it'd probably go with a different model. Mm-hmm.
Well, just the fact that it has the USB charging port built into this radio, which is what you mentioned early on, I think that is also another plus for this little, because this is a little compact radio. Here it comes with USB-C charging. I think that in itself is a plus. But, you know, I understand that USB-C is becoming more of a standard now on radios. And you're probably from here on out, if it doesn't have USB-C charging, then it's not a radio that a lot of people are going to be interested in. Some people are probably starting to say that, well, you know, it's USB-C, okay, not as big of a deal as it was a year or two ago, but I still think it's a big deal.
Well, I think the biggest deal, we've made a change with the KGS65G. Previously, all of the radios that we've worked with Ocean on have included a drop-in charger. With the S65G, we're kind of going all in with the USB-C. There's no longer a drop-in charger and an AC adapter included. Now it's just the radio. You get a USB-C cable and a wall adapter that's the AC to USB-C on the wall plug. So it includes everything that you need to charge it, but it doesn't include that drop-in charger.
Well, if you really want a drop-in charger, you can, you know, of course, you can order one that's optional. You know, drop-in charger is optional, and we have them available as well. But, you know, to your point, though, that's I think that the drop-in charger is kind of moot now. I don't think it's as important, especially now in my case. I'll use myself as an example here. I have a lot of GMRS radios, most of them Ocean. And I found that, some of the older models, they have to have their own drop-in charger. But a lot of the newer models, that they'll kind of work interchangeably with some of the chargers that I already have. And I have a box of chargers here, chargers there that I no longer use. They sit there because all I need to do is pick one or two, and I can pretty much charge most of the radios that I use with them. And so they kind of build up. So having just a USB-C, USB-C charging cable and an AC adapter on its own, it's much simpler for me in those cases. I don't see that's really that crucial to have a drop-in charger.
Yeah, we ask a lot of our customers. Like, I had our sales department go through and ask people when they were buying these radios that have a USB-C port, how they're charging it. And it seems like, from what I'm hearing, very few people were using that drop-in charger anyway. And with most people just throwing it in the trash or letting it sit in a drawer forever, it seems like it makes more sense to just lower the price of the radio a little bit, not include that, and make it available. Now, it's going to be available as a separate accessory. It already is for the S series. If you really want the drop-in charger, it's available. But I know with more and more devices going USB-C, I like it when I buy something that has a USB-C port. I actually will look for that because I have on my desk a USB-C cable and I charge all of my devices with that. I'm still using an old iPhone with the Lightning port, but other than that, I've pretty much got everything I use switched over to USB-C.
That's pretty much the standard now. Aside from the USB-C charging, it also has the full-color backlit LCD display that Ocean is famous for. And this one is not just the full-color display, but like several other models, you can customize those colors, and it comes with some, 10, preset customized colors. Plus, you can go into the programming software and create your own customized set of colors, which is a really cool feature.
Like the Q10 series, it includes the 10 built-in themes, same ones as the Q10 series, but it also has 4 customizable theme. So you can go into the programming software and select the colors that you like.
In addition to the display, we have a couple of more function keys that are programmable. Some of the other models, you had 2 programmable keys you could program to a lot of different things. And On the last couple, like the Q10G, you could program the top key as well. This one has four programmable function keys, two on the front, two on the side, and the top key. So that gives you essentially five programmable keys total, and all of those can be programmed with a short and a long press. So that gives you 10 programmable functions on this little tiny radio.
Right. And nothing is hard-coded. Like, we didn't make the label weather, for example, on any of the keys, because they're all fully customizable. You can assign the same list of functions to any key. So you can customize this radio however you like. If you're not a weather guy and you're never going to use weather, then replace the F2 key on the front of the radio with whatever you like, any other function. Mm-hmm.
Now, just like the Q10G, this also has two menus actually built into the radio.
Yes, it does. It has the area or channel menu, and it has the system menu. If you have to hold the menu down for a couple seconds to go into the system menu, a simple quick press will give you the channel or the area menu.
Right. Which is pretty cool on its own. I mean, you know, having a menu nested in this radio with another menu is I think it organizes the menu a lot better overall, in my opinion. I think it's better organized.
There are just certain functions that only apply to the channel, and that if you switch to, you're on channel one and you change the channel name or something, you know, there's a number of channel specific options, and you switch to channel two, it's going to be back because those settings apply to the channel.
Mm-hmm. Well, you were talking about the weather mode before, and that's where this radio is a little bit different from previous models that included the NOAA weather function. This has the seven NOAA weather channels, of course, and the weather alerts. And this one has four weather alerts as opposed to five on some of the other radios. But something a little bit different with the weather mode on this one. Let's talk about that for a minute.
What specifically are you talking about? The way it's laid out in the user interface?
Yes.
Some radios, if you think about the Q10, for example, or the 935, the display is broken up into two different areas, and you can monitor multiple frequencies on the display at one time. Like, for example, area one, area two, you can be monitoring two frequencies at once. With the KGS65G, it still has two areas on the display, but we wanted to keep this radio as simple as possible. Like, it maintain just GMRS functions, make it easy to use, not a huge learning curve. So the way it works is it doesn't have dual monitoring. The top area is off by default. And if you turn weather on, that area becomes your weather channel. And the bottom area is always the GMRS area. So it's simple to use because of the way we laid out the UI there.
I think this will make some users rather happy because instead of having to switch into weather mode and out of weather mode and that sort of thing, they can kind of monitor the weather mode on the top end. If they leave that on, they can continue to talk and receive on their radio and never lose actual sight of the weather channel, per se.
Yeah, I don't think you would want to do that because the weather channel is always receiving. You turn your local weather channel on, you're going to hear it constantly. Mm-hmm. So, I wouldn't use it personally.
There's some people that have asked about that before, saying, you know, I want to be able to monitor my weather channel in the background. I don't know. I haven't tried doing that myself. And yeah, to be honest, I only listen to one area at a time on some of the other radios because listening to two conversations at the same time is really distracting but to me.
Right. Exactly. I would turn weather on when you want to hear the weather and turn it off when you're finished hearing the weather and then just leave it in GMRS mode when it'll be in GMRS mode when the weather's off.
But I do understand that there are people that like to monitor the weather mode and also kind of listen in, you know, to whatever they're listening to at the same time. And for those that like that feature, yeah, there you go. More power to you.
Well, it also monitors the weather in the background, and it will, if you have weather alert mode on, it'll listen for an alert tone that the NOAA frequencies broadcast when there's an emergency. And when it hears that tone, it will react based on a weather notification setting that you have. You can have it, you know, flash the lights and let you know there's an alert, or just put an icon on the screen, or it'll even play an alarm if you choose that when there's a weather emergency. So we do have some advanced weather functionality. In addition to the NOAA frequencies, it also has an FM radio, which is something is missing on some of the lower end super heterodyne GMRS radios.
Yeah, and this one has one. So it's, there's something else here that is pretty interesting that's new. This is a frequency counter.
Yes, I love, for some reason, I love the frequency. It's not something that I think people are going to use a lot, but built into the radio is the ability to listen for a nearby frequency and tone. So if your friend has a radio and you want to set your KGS65G to the same frequency and tone that their radio is set for, just turn the frequency counter on, and it can be assigned to any side key. Or any function key, I guess I should say. But it will detect and display on the screen what frequency and tone it detects, and then you can press the menu key to add a channel with that if you want to make it a channel, or you can press exit and just not add it as a channel.
Now, this radio still has the favorites in here as well as the favorite channels?
Yes. Every Ocean Radio since the 935 we've done has the channel favorites.
And there is something else in here that I think is worth mentioning.
It has Channel Wizard.
That's what I was going to mention. That was exactly the
thing. You were going there.
Yeah, because that, to me, and I mentioned this at the beginning of the show, I was talking about, there's one specific feature that I'm really glad is in here, and that's it, the Channel Wizard. I really think the Channel Wizard is one of the biggest things in these radios since Ocean started making these radios. It just my personal opinion. I think the Channel Wizard is a huge time saver, and it's popular with a lot of people. Once folks figured out what the Channel Wizard did and how it worked, it was like, oh wow, this is really great. And I think, and that was my case too. When I was first handed the first radio that we had the Channel Wizard in, and it took me a minute or two. And then once I really discovered how it worked, I thought, wow, this is great. It's fantastic.
It's a quick and easy way to edit a channel or to add a channel. It takes you step by step through the important things on each channel. For example, whether you want a simplex or a repeater or a receive only channel. And then if you want a simplex or a repeater channel, you're just selecting your frequency from a list. And you can select your tones in the next step. It's just step by step, and it makes it easy. So yeah, we have gotten good feedback on the Channel Wizard.
And I believe a lot of the other standard features, which actually are all pretty much standard now on a lot of these Ocean radios, which I didn't really see any of these on the bubble pack radios, or not very many of them. Or, you know, you've got the display channel name, number, frequency, the custom display messages, the descrambler, the DTMF encoding and decoding, the reverse frequency, talk around, Vox. So a lot of that stuff.
Frequency mode is an interesting one that we should maybe talk about. This is the first radio from Ocean that we've done that doesn't have a keypad, but has frequency mode. Frequency mode, also known as VFO mode, allows you to tune to any specific frequency in the 400 to 480 megahertz range that the radio supports. So that's, we had a little debate internally about whether to keep frequency mode or whether it should be disabled, because it is, it's a little complicated tuning to a specific frequency.
Yeah. It's not as simple as punching in something from a 10 key keypad. It's a little different approach.
Right. It's a little more complicated to get to the frequency that you want, because you have to scroll to it. And if you're going far away, you probably want to change your step so that you can go 1 megahertz at a time or something. And we did have them add larger steps so that you can scroll more quickly to get to the area of the frequency you want. But I'd be interested to hear feedback from our listeners. What do they think? Is frequency mode something they use? Should we have left that out without the keypad? What do you think? Let us know.
Well, I should clarify here for you that larger steps doesn't necessarily mean that the smaller steps have been eliminated. They're still there.
Right, of course. Yeah. I believe we added 1 megahertz as a step.
Yeah.
And maybe 500 kilohertz. That I think maybe it stopped at 100K previously. Mm-hmm. So we added a couple of larger ones. So you can get to, if you're on 460 and you want to tune to a ham frequency at 420, you're going to be scrolling. You're going to be holding the down arrow for a while if you're only going 12K at a time.
And with only 6-key keypad here, I guess there are a few other features that people would be asking, well, how are you going to manage that with only 6 keys? And it's actually not that complicated to do. For instance, we got the stopwatch timer built in. We've got the remote stun, kill, monitor, inspect features in there. You've got a few other features that are more advanced that you would expect from, like the radio ID features that people would say, well, how are you going to do that without the 10 key keypad? Well, you can do it through the program. You can set it up in the programming software. Now, the stopwatch timer can be done pretty much using the exit button, I believe, if I'm not mistaken.
The DTMF was the difficult one, because there was some debate. Rick, I think you were involved in some of that as well. Like, should we just rip all of this out because there's no keypad and you have to use, like, if you wanted to program in a DTMF sequence, you've got to go to the programming software and key in the DTMF sequence, and then you can use the radio and select the DTMF sequence and hit a call button. It's not simple. And the idea of the radio is we wanted it to be an easy to use GMRS radio. Yeah, but eventually we did leave it in because it's something that's easily ignorable. Easily ignorable. If you don't want to use DTMF, you don't have to. You can easily ignore it yourself. It's just a menu option you can skip past. So it's in there if someone ever actually needs it, but it's not something that you're forced to look at all the time. Like the things that are part of the UI and that you're using repeatedly, those are the things that we worked on making super user friendly and maybe even reducing functionality in some cases to make it a more usable and easy to use and easy to understand radio.
So there's a lot to this little radio. This radio is not that big, it really isn't. And let me see if I can pull up the dimensions for this real quick, because I actually pulled up the manual here, the final version of the manual, as it was going to print. Let's see here. What have we got here for the you might be surprised just how small it is. 4.53 inches by 2.14 inches by 1.36 inches. It comes out to 115 by 54.3 by 34.6 millimeters. And yes, I said millimeters. And the weight, it's only 8.4 ounces or 238 grams. So that it's small and it's lightweight. And that's when you look at how small this radio is, how compact it is, it really makes you appreciate everything that's packed into it even more, in my opinion.
Yeah, it is super small. The other SUVs, right? If you've seen a KG S88G, it's that size, and those are tiny radios. And, they still have a ton of features. You're not giving up a lot by getting a smaller radio, but it's so much more portable.
Now, this one's IP55. It's dust and waterproof. It's not immersible or anything like that. But IP55, it's nothing to sneeze at. But then again, if you did sneeze at it, it probably wouldn't hurt it because it's IP55.
Right. But, IP55 is like you can take it in the rain, but don't drop it in a pool.
Yeah. And you could take it in the rain, but why do that if you don't have to?
Because you can. Why not?
Yeah, because you can.
You don't want to say, "Oh, it's raining. I want to leave my radio behind." That's
true.
Your radio,
unless it falls into the pool, and then you just
don't go swimming with it. But don't hesitate to go out in the rain with it.
All right.
We haven't mentioned something else that is going to be kind of cool for most people. I think it's available in three colors.
Oh, yeah, that's right. I'm just wrong about that.
We've got blue, we've got yellow, and gray.
Great.
So, three colors for now.
And if you want, you can collect all three colors and trade them with your friends.
You know, here's the move. Here's the move. If you have kids, or say a wife and a couple of kids, you get each one their own color, and then you buy yourself a Q10G.
There you go. Or a 935G Plus or something,
Sure.
I'm kind of stuck on the 935G Plus just because it's my personal favorite radio, GMR.
Why do you like it better than the Q10?
I don't know. I know it's bigger. It's bulkier.
The Q10?
There's just something. No, the 935G Plus is bigger.
They're about the same size. Not that much bigger.
It's a little bit bigger. I got a Q10 here, and I have that's a Q10G here. And then I had a 935G. You know what? I took the battery off of it. It's sitting over there in the corner. But I probably have one behind me, actually, somewhere. Yeah, there's one there. There's a 935G back there somewhere. And I think it's a little, the 935G Plus, I think, is a little bit bigger.
I like the 935G. And it is still super popular, but I got to say, I like the Q10G better, feature wise.
You like it better?
Yeah, I like it better. It's a better radio. I like that it has the super wide frequency range. It's got some GPS capabilities. It's kind of neat.
And I guess we shouldn't pass up the opportunity to mention that the owner's manual, it's a comprehensive owner's manual, plain English, and it's everything's in this manual that we could think of putting in this manual. I don't think this is going to be a complicated radio to use. It sounds complicated because of all the stuff that's in it, but it really isn't that complicated, in my opinion.
No, it's really not. And I think that this is the radio that's kind of made for the people who aren't going to read the manual. I know you put a lot of time into that manual, Rick. So
yeah.
I know you want everyone to read it, but I think that this is the radio for the people that aren't going to be reading the manual, because you really can just use the arrow keys to just pick your channel and, push the talk button and go.
Well, and that's basically what a radio is for. And I wrote a blog post about that some time back. That's really the basic function of any radio, is you choose your channel, your frequency, and you press the push to talk. That's what makes it a lot more, a lot simpler than using a cell phone. It's one of those things. And I think with with all the bells and whistles that are added to the radios all the time, I think that there are some users that kind of forget about that fact. That, you know, at the end of the day, what's this radio supposed to be done?
Why do you always got to rant about always ranting about people that want features?
That's something I like features too. It's just that I think that at the end of the day,
just wish they were gone.
It's all a matter of push to talk, you know, and talking on it. There's only so much stuff you can put in a radio until it becomes like, well,
what would you remove? Where did we go too far, Rick, on features?
Well, I wouldn't really remove anything at this point because I've gotten so used to having most of it in there. If you took it away, it's the old adage about you don't know what you don't know. If you never had the feature, then are you really missing it? That's a whole nother discussion for another podcast. I know.
I guess not. But, if you never had the feature, we don't live in that world, Rick. We've got the features.
No, we don't. We don't.
People know about the features. They want them.
That's true. So, is there anything else we're missing?
We haven't talked about the price, I don't believe, which is
$79.99.
Yep. There's a 5% off code if you use, what's the promo code, Rick?
If you use the promo code SHOW at checkout, you can save an additional 5% off your order just for being a listener and viewer of the Two-Way Radio Show podcast.
I think for $79, this radio has a lot of value. It has the ocean quality that you're probably used to if you're familiar with the ocean GMRS or ham radios. This isn't like a super cheap radio. This is it's a good quality radio, yep. And it has a lot of the features that people are looking for at $80. I mean, we kept hearing from people that wanted some of this more advanced functionality at the price of the 805G, and I hope everyone will agree that we delivered on that. We'll see.
Oh, I think it's a fantastic radio for the price. No doubt about that. My opinion, of course. And the opinions and views expressed in this podcast do not represent. How does it go?
The listeners disagree. They'll let us know. I've learned that.
Yeah.
Through the last few episodes, at least.
All right. Well, does that pretty much cover it for the new Ocean S65G?
I'm sure there's some things we left out.
There are some things we left out, but I mean, we'd be here all day going through everything.
Let's talk about availability. This should be available at the time this podcast goes out. It is very close. We have a shipment that, as we record this, is on the way. So we've got to receive that. If QC goes well, then we'll have a small shipment that we're going to be selling, and then others following up. So,
All right. Well, we have some comments and questions from our blog and our forum at twowayradioforum.com. And actually, in this episode, they're all comments. A lot of mixed comments. They're all in response to our previous episode, episode 193, which we were talking about the GMRS repeaters and linkage of them, and I'm sorry?
I said I thought that might get a little feedback.
Yeah. Well, it got a lot of feedback, and we're still getting feedback on it, but I'm not going to read them all, but I'm going to pick out a few really interesting ones here. This one comes from Bob. Bob says, glad they made it clear on GMRS with only 8 repeater pairs, thought the practice of linking was inconsiderate of others wanting to put up small community repeaters. And that's from Bob. And once again, the FCC had to make a clarifying statement about the use of GMRS repeaters and linking them together. And the FCC said, hey, it's not legal to do it, you can't do it. And a lot of people responded, some in the positive and some in the negative and some kind of, you know. But I'm going to read some of these positive and negative ones here. I read this one from Bob. This one comes from Glenn. Glenn says, what those linking GMRS repeaters don't understand is that the FCC already licenses a service that allows linking under an entirely different set of rules. It also requires the licensee to take a series of tests, some of which involve understanding the rules. GMRS users are not tested, and the radios can be used by the children of the licensee. Have you ever given younger children a set of FRS walkie-talkies and listened to the language, lack of call signs, etc., that spews out of their mouths? That would end up with potty mouth comments being broadcast to several cities or states on who knows how many repeaters. In short, the FCC says it is not allowed. So if you want to continue doing it, become a ham. GMRS was for short distances, not nationwide comms. And that's from Glenn. And he does make a point there. Bill says it's always been illegal. Linking 800/repeater/nodes ties up repeaters. Also, charging someone to use your repeater or telling someone that can't use your repeater without a fee is another thing you shouldn't be doing. And that's from Bill. That kind of opens up a different...
That's a topic for our next episode, I guess.
Yeah, that's a totally different topic. Yeah. Let's see here. Kombeski says, this will mean a death blow to all the linked repeaters in South Florida and many others. A lot of time and money has been spent on setting up an emergency GMRS link system. Along with others around the country, these have been in operation for several years. I guess the interpretation of the language wasn't as clear-cut to many out there. I'm sure it won't be resolved without a lot more money spent on lawyers. And that's from Kombeski.
That's the unfortunate side from what I see. You know, people have spent a lot of money on repeaters and coming up with emergency networks that had, you know, they were a good idea. They had, you know, safety in mind. And to find out that's not allowed after you put a lot of money into it, I can see how frustrating that would be.
Yeah. This one comes from Jose, and Jose says, if GMRS people want long-distance communications, they should obtain their ham licenses. GMRS was not meant to be a substitute for HF. Linking repeaters limits communications. For instance, linking 15 GMRS repeaters only allows for one conversation at a time across 15 repeaters instead of 15 different communications. GMRS linked repeaters to create fiefdoms. And he says, Danny, you sound like a CBer who then became a GMRS person. Zello and other such services should never have been allowed. It's cut and dry. What don't you get about that? And that's from Jose. And he was referring to your comment about using Zello.
Obviously, he's missing something because he didn't listen to the whole episode or he didn't understand what I was saying. That's what I thought when I read that one.
Yeah, Brian here says, if the FCC would allow DMR digital mode on GMRS frequencies, maybe even just a repeater pair or two, then GMRS users could design a network that leverages the DMR color codes and talk groups to reduce interference and make more efficient use of the RF spectrum that is allocated to GMRS. Then users could control the amount of traffic they hear by selecting the talk groups on their device. Then it would not be an issue with wide area coverage repeater systems. And that's from Brian.
See, I like the way Brian is thinking. I have some similar ideas on that. And I mean, it does introduce some problems as well that have to be thought through, but I think that's a good direction.
Yeah. Yeah. Herbert says, I am not against linking, but it should be restricted to repeaters on the same frequency. I live in an area that I'm able to reach four different GMRS repeaters. There is an organization locally that linked all four of these repeaters and a few more throughout the state and neighboring states. Four repeaters all on different frequencies, all linked together, literally wipes out 30% of the available spectrum resources. That I do not agree with. I'm glad that the FCC finally took action on this, and that's from Herbert. And that was kind of the point I was trying to make in the last episode. So, you know, we don't have enough, repeater channels to be able to do this. And And he does make a very populated
area. I think eight. I know we covered this last episode, but I agree with you. Eight frequencies isn't enough. If you're in a big city or something like that, they're going to go quick.
Yeah. Let's see. I'll pick a couple more out here because we could go all day reading these. There are a lot of them. Texas, Aggie says, the FCC needs to explain the rationale behind this ruling. That's from Texas. I think they did. I think they did. Oshids says, you guys ramble on a clearly defined definition of illegal GMRS linked repeaters as the channel hogs do on their linked networks. That's from, is that D-Shids? D-Shids. Yeah, okay.
We got a show to do, you know?
It's kind of what we do. And I think Dub's Adventure here was responding to you as well. It says, I see no problem sending your repeater traffic over Zello as a receive only. That said, I don't have a problem with linked repeaters as long as it's locally linked. And I think that's kind of what you were saying there before. There is another one here that I wanted to read that, where is it? If I can find it again. There's so many of these. Oh, here's one directed to you directly here. This is from Gary. Dear Mr. Feimster, the rule prohibiting repeater linking has no effect on the archiving of traffic. The rule does not prohibit anyone from saving audio on distant computers via the internet or any other means. The subject of the rule isn't an internet use prohibition. It's a rule prohibiting the linking of repeaters. Sending traffic audio via the internet to another computer in the next room or across the country is a completely different subject, and the FCC has not mentioned it, much less prohibited it. Let's not try and create confusion about problems that don't exist. And that's from Gary.
I kind of agree with Gary. I thought reading the clarification, it seemed like it could be a little unclear. If you were trying to read into, can I send my repeater traffic over the internet at all, that seemed to be prohibited from my reading, but I agree that it's not. I don't think that's the FCC's intention, and Gary's probably right. I shouldn't assume, and you know, we know where that leads.
Yeah. I'll just read a couple more of these. Jordan says, I'm guessing you guys both hams? That was his so there was one question here. Jordan wants to know, I'm guessing you guys both hams? And that's from Jordan.
Keep guessing.
Yeah. Actually, Jordan, yes, we are. We're both hams, and we are also GMRS license holders, both of us. So there you go. I'm just going to read one more. This one comes from our good friend, Sean. And Sean says, well, you guys went and did it now. I'm old, so when I read the regulation regarding linking GMRS repeaters, I understood it to mean no linking over wired network, meaning phone lines. Having said that, I do understand how the regulations could seem ambiguous to some people. A lot of government writings can seem that way. Either way, ignorance to a regulation is not an excuse to violate it. I don't use any linked networks on GMRS or amateur radio, so I really can't speak to some of the crowding issues I see brought up. I have run across some linked repeaters when traveling and wondered if it was legal. As it stands right now, with the present frequency spectrum allocations for GMRS, I would prefer for there to be no leaking. In a larger metro-type area, you could use up the eight pairs of frequencies pretty quickly if there were too many linked repeaters. I like your idea that GMRS could use more frequencies and perhaps a couple set aside for linking. I don't see that happening because, as you pointed out, those new frequencies would have to be taken from some other service. The same goes for digital, in my opinion. I think this recent clarification may have been added because someone realized the regulation wording could have been vague due to technologies overpacing the verbiage used. Who knows? It could have come about because of complaints. I am no fan of government intervention. In my opinion, our government is way too large and bloated now, but I also can imagine what the airwaves would be like without some rules. Thanks for your great podcast. And that's from Sean.
Thanks, Sean. I kind of agree with Sean.
Yeah, he made some great points here. Mm-hmm. And I appreciate it. All right, I guess that does it for our comments and questions in this episode. Send in your comments and questions for Danny or myself to show@buytwowayradios.com. If you want to know more about today's topic or about two-way radios in general, check out our forum discussions at twowayradioforum.com. You can subscribe to the Two-Way Radio Show directly from our website at twowayradioshow.com or hear it almost anywhere you can find a podcast. You can also subscribe by email. Click subscribe by email on the Two-Way Radio Show podcast page at twowayradioshow.com. Enter your email address and you'll get the latest episode of the Two-Way Radio Show as soon as it's released. All right, I guess that does it for our show in this episode. Before we go, any final comment?
I think we got it.
All right. Well, today's show is sponsored by buytwowayradios.com. Whether you're searching for two-way radios for general consumer or business use, BuyTwoWay Radios can help you find the best solution for your needs. Enter the promo code SHOW at checkout and save an additional 5% off your order. Give us a call at 1-800-584-1445 or enter our live chat at buytwowayradios.com. Well, everyone, as always, thanks for listening. And until next time, for the Two-Way Radio Show, I'm Rick Savoia.
And I'm Danny Feimster.
And we're out.